occasionally need someone just to hit it out of the park for you, huh? I'll tell you what. God bless you, girl. Way to go. That was awesome. What a blessing. What a way to start off a super Sunday. Way to go. I'll tell you what. I don't know which team you're rooting for, but I want to put money on that team, whatever team you're rooting for. That was a real blessing. God bless you. I've been trying to get her to sing up here on her own forever, and I thought to myself, this is finally the time. You know, maybe next week we'll do a duet together. Now, that would be something, wouldn't it? Yeah. How many games are there in a season? 17 football games? 17 games in a season, right? In the Super Bowl, this will be the final game. Is this the 18th game then? This is the 18th. I think this is the 18th game. There's no real football fans here, huh? No one who really knows. 18th. This is the 18th game. Out of all those games, pardon me, what?
Go Rams!
Out of all of those games, they've had the same rules for the whole season. They've had the same rules for the same whole season. They've had the same plays for the same season. They had the same inflation in the ball for the same, for every game for this whole season. And now they'll get out there and they'll play today and they'll have an entirely new playbook. It will be a playbook that everyone will have been working on for these past 2 weeks with a whole new set of plays so that they can try to beat out their opponents. Now, they're going to have this new playbook within the framework of what they've done, not just across the last 17 games or the last 17 years, but across the foundation of American football. And yet within it, they're going to want to bring something fresh. They're going to want to bring something new so that they can win, because each team knows the other. And when they look at the other team, I mean, everyone looks at it and says, how are we ever going to do anything about Cam Newton? I mean, here's going to come this guy who stands up like a young god, and he walks out there on the field, and what do you do? I mean, when you've got a guy like that, and then on the other side, you've got the Broncos, who I believe have played in almost as many Super Bowls as anybody else, haven't they? I know I came here, I preached my very first sermon here 28 years ago today, my first Sunday morning sermon here 28 years ago today, and it was the week following the Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl had been the Sunday before on January 31st, and the Denver Broncos had been in it 28 years ago. Except the difference was they had a different quarterback. John Elway, this young new quarterback had come up, and he was in his first Super Bowl back then. He's long since retired. He's long since done everything. He owns car dealerships. He owns teams. He does everything else. He's gone through all the other stuff that he's gone through. And here I am still plugging away at that. But they'll come up with the whole new playbook for it for you and me. What I want to talk about in the next 3 weeks is a three-week series. I want to talk about what it means to make love grow in our lives. Because all of us love, we've been loved, hopefully, from the majority of our lives. Now, some of us haven't always accepted love, and some of us have struggled with love, but we've been loved. It's how we got here. Someone loved us, someone embraced us, someone held us, and it's what drew us to this point, and we've been loved by God. Even when we haven't even accepted the love of God, we have been loved by God. And each of us then have the opportunity to take that and to make love grow, so that love then through our hearts and our lives can grow out. And to do that, just like they're coming to the game today and they're having to look at their playbooks and say, well, we only have so many plays to do, we only have this to do, we only have that to do, how do we keep this fresh against a team that's got so much experience, against a team with so much knowledge? And in our lives, we need to be able to look at the people we know and then look in our own hearts and say, how do we keep love fresh in this kind of moment? Now, the world's going to tell you, well, what you need to do, Valentine's Day is next Sunday, you need to buy flowers. Make sure you buy flowers. If you buy flowers, you're going to keep... Now, I want you to know, it never hurts to buy flowers. I'm not running at that. It never hurts. Debbie always says, oh, honey, don't bring me flowers, but I found it never hurts. Never hurts to buy flowers. So if you're thinking to yourself, "Not," you know what? It never hurts to say something nice and to tell someone that you love them. It never hurts one bit if you want to keep love fresh to buy flowers, to say something nice and to tell you that you love them. And it never hurts to share your heart. These are things that counseling will tell you, that the world will tell you, and none of them are bad things. They're all actually really good things if we practice them on a daily basis. After 28 years of ministry here at Central Community, I've thought back, okay, well, what have been my successes? What have been the things that have helped me continue on this? And I'll tell you what, the thing from the very beginning, I brought a stack of them with me. I remember from the very beginning sharing the dream that I had for the ministry here 28 years ago that I've since been printed up and handed out. I go speak other places I handed out. You want to copy it? And if you've never seen the dream we have for Central Community, there it is right there that God gave for him. You need to have a dream if you're going to really keep things fresh. You need to pursue that on a daily basis and daily basis and pursue it. That dream that you have, I mean, you need to believe in it on a regular basis, and then you need to stick with it. Because there are going to be times where your dream feels like a nightmare. And you need to be willing to stick through it, understanding that everything in life goes through its great big challenges if you're going to keep it fresh. The verse for this morning is just a simple verse that I want you all to memorize. It's from Philippians 1, first chapter, third verse. Let's read it out loud together. It's the only verse for the entire message. And so there's no other verse, so if you memorize this, you've got the entire message down. No long text, no long story. This is it. Let's read out loud. I thank my God every time I remember you. I thank my God every time I remember you. If we can get this verse written across our hearts and our lives, our love will stay fresh. If we can get this verse written across our actions and our relationships, our love will stay fresh. And if we can get this heart written in to our desires, in what we long to with God, our love will stay fresh and it will grow out, because fresh things grow. If you're going backpacking or if you're going to space as an astronaut, what kind of food do you take with you? The same kind of food I talked with last week. Remember? What's the guy's name? I'm forgetting his name. Jim Baker. He sells it. It's freeze-dried. It's freeze-dried food. That's what you take. You take the kind of stuff that you add to add water with it, right? How many of you want to eat freeze-dried food for all of your meals? How many of you have got a whole bunch of freeze-dried food set out around the table waiting for the Super Bowl party today? Oh, honey, if you could get out the freeze-dried avocados for the guacamole and you're adding water and mixing it, nobody wants that, right? Not a chance. I mean, if anything, you're going to say, where'd you get this guacamole? That's awful. What's good about it is if it's fresh. But the reason they don't send that with the astronauts, the reason you don't take that backpacking, the reason you don't store that away until the whole world comes to an end, is because it'll rot. That's the reason you don't take care of it. And in the same way, what we do in our lives is we don't keep love fresh and we let our hearts go hard because something rotten happened along the line. Something bad happened, we were broken, we were hurt, and we found out that, wow, you know what, if you keep things fresh, it hurts. And so I'm just going to harden it up. What's that song? I'm going to harden my heart, I'm going to swallow my... Something like that, I don't remember all the words. Pam, who did that song? Thank you. Anyway, Heart, the Motels, who was it? There are the Motels. Okay. Yeah, I was going to lean on Pam. Don't worry, Jeff. Yeah, I know my experts in the room here. So we go through something like this, and I think for us to be able to stay fresh, you know, because we harden our hearts, and we need to look to staying fresh. So it says we keep our love new and fresh, first of all, when we have a plan that's positive and grounded in love. And how many of you have never heard, I'm going to harden my heart? Lord, help us. Go on YouTube today. You know, go on. It's a good song. I mean, it's a good song. What we need to do, first of all, is to have a plan that's positive and grounded in love. It says, I thank my God every time I remember you. And the part in bold and underline is the part that needs to be our plan. I thank my God. You go home. You get in a fight with the one you love. The easiest thing to do is to slam the door and to walk out. But what if you thank your God? You go home. Your feelings are hurt from something that happened at work, and so you blow off on everyone at home. It's not their fault, but now you feel comfortable because you can't get fired at home, and so you blow up and you take it all home. But what if you thank your God? You have a plan that's positive and grounded in love. You see, we do what God wants for me. Across the years here, when I've been frustrated and when I've thought, boy, I'm just stuck in some stagnant little backwater that's never going to grow, I remembered, wait a second, God gave me a dream. And I've looked to that dream as opposed to looking to everything that would drag me down. I've remembered that I am not here for every single specific moment, but I am here for the dream that God gave me, and my job is to serve that dream and invite people to share that dream. That's my task. My judge at the end of the day is my God who gave me that dream. He's the one who called me into the service of Him. And so I need to be willing to thank God on a daily basis for that plan that He gave me that served and invite other people to believe and share in this dream. To invite other people to accept and understand that there's something bigger than any of us and that all of us, that we can lay our hearts and our lives together down in that's grounded in love. Second, we can keep our love new and fresh when we commit to more than the feel-good moments. When we commit to more than the feel-good moments. You know what the feel-good moments are in love? Feel-good moments are when someone says, you look so beautiful tonight. It's in you. Or, you know what? It is so great to be with you. There's just something about holding your hand that makes me feel so much better about myself. You know, something about when we say those things, we hold each other, and they're the feel-good moments. And that's what we want out of a relationship. That's what we want so often in love. We want the feel-good moments. His eye is on the sparrow, and Marcy sings like we think, if only I could sing like that. I would, all of my words would not be in words. I would only sing. I would call people, I am calling you to. I mean, I would never talk if I could sing like that. I mean, that's all I would do. That's all I would do. And you think to yourself, and then you get the message and it touches your heart. And we think, man, that feel-good moment. But life is not always about the feel-good moments, is it? It's just not. It's wonderful to have those moments that draw us close to the heart of God where we're reminded that, oh, there's something of genuine beauty in all of this that touches us, but we need to commit to more than just that feel-good moment. Paul goes on to say, I thank my God every time I remember you. And the word in bold there is every time. Every time I remember you. It's always baffled me across these 28 years, the people who have left the church for one reason or the other, people who have gotten their feelings hurt or have gotten angry at me when there have been fights. There have been fights in this church down across from the moment I got here. I kid you not, they were here before I got here. When I got here, this is the truth. The first fight that was going on, it was already going on, it was over the janitor. The janitor was a nice young man named Lonnie. Lonnie with the Lord now, a long time. Lonnie had been the janitor for long before I got here. People would come up to me and they would say, Lonnie's not doing a good enough job. It's costing church money. We need to fire Lonnie. I said, well, you know, I barely know Lonnie yet. I'm brand new. And I realized that was already a division in the church over Lonnie. Something needed to happen about Lonnie. And I'm thinking to myself, you got to be kidding me. And I remember right over there, that third window up or whatever, this one older person would come up to me. That means they were probably about 60. You know, I was about 30, so about younger than I am now. Younger than I am now. And they would come up to me and say, you know what? For 5 weeks, I've seen that same bug on the windowsill, and Lonnie hasn't cleaned it. And I remember I finally came up here to the altar. I grabbed a Kleenex, walked back, wiped it up. I said, why didn't you do that 5 weeks ago? It would have been so much easier than just complaining about it. I think that person left the church. I mean, you know, I realized that you could say the easiest things. And it seemed like a simple thing, but suddenly I realized what that person wanted from me. They wanted someone on their side of an issue. And you see, my task was just to say, our job is just to build the church. That's it. Our job is just to build the church and all of us come together to commit to more. I thank God. How often? Just when we feel going to. Every time. Every time. Every time I think of you. Can you think of anybody that you thank God for every time? Well, it can be a challenge, can't it, right off the top? Most of us, when we go back across the years, we can think of a few things that maybe we weren't so thankful for. And as we age, You know, for those of you who are much younger than me, it's just the truth. As you age, it becomes so much easier to become thankful because you start to see in yourself your own foibles, your own issues. Your ego is not near as huge to have to hold on to any longer, and it's so much easier to release some of the things where you may have been a total knucklehead in. And you realize, I could have taken that nicer than just said, pick up the bug yourself. I could have done something differently than that. And you're okay with dealing with that. And you realize what I want to do is I want to commit more than just that feel-good moment, but to thank God every time I remember them. It says, love always creates. It never destroys. In this lies man's only promise. You see, fresh takes effort, friends. If you've got vegetables, fruit, anything at home, even bananas on the counter, if you want to keep them fresh, it's going to take effort. And even if you work every single day to keep them fresh, well, you better eat them pretty soon or they're still going to go rotten. Our peach tree died about 4 years ago. 3 or 4 years ago. We went through and we picked all the peaches off it when we have some kind of bug that got into the bark of it. Had to cut the thing down. Debbie took them and she froze all of the peaches that we had. If we picked them, just we didn't want to have time to make jam, she sliced them up just as if we were making jam, put them in those freezer bags, stuck them in the freezer. For 3, 4 years, I've looked down at the bottom of our freezer and I see these golden peaches. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, they look like the day they were cut. And then this month in February, I thought, you know, I'd like to start doing some freshening of my life with fruit and doing smoothies. And I thought, well, I do want to mess with ice. And so I thought, I'll use those peaches for ice. And I've been pulling down there, and I use some blackberries and some blueberries. And then I take those peaches out. They're amazing. Because Debbie worked to keep them fresh enough that now when I open them up, it's incredible. They're still just as good as ever. Right now, all this time later, just pulling them out and using them, and they're like, mwah, wonderful. You know, when we make an effort, things can be fresh because love always creates. It never destroys. This is our promise in life. Third, we keep our love new and fresh when we respond quickly to leadership from above. When we respond quickly to leadership from above. I love the instant replay. I don't know how many of you enjoy the instant replay in football. I've not been a huge football fan in my life. I've not been one of those guys who sits around and watches it. My son, as soon as they started that fantasy football league stuff, he immediately became like the football fan of life. He can tell you how many points every single player in the entire league is worth within fantasy football. He does all of that. He's involved in multiple leagues with all of his buddies from college that he still connects with for over a decade later, and they're just all this computer stuff about it. I could care less. I don't watch football games in general. My idea of good TV on a Sunday afternoon is whatever lets me fall asleep so I can be ready to go to Jackets for Jesus. Football is not good at letting you fall asleep. They yell, they shout. And then the worst part about it is it gets me interested. And then I find myself interested and I want to watch and I don't fall asleep. My mother-in-law moved in with us this past year. My mother-in-law, avid football fan. It's what she loves it more than anything else. The 2 months our TV was out and Debbie and me are like, okay, let's just do without a TV. She went into mourning. I mean, I would come home. She would be in a fetal position like this, you know, on the couch. And so finally we got the TV. I come now, football. I mean, if there can be football on some, Sylvia's in there, she's watching football, you know, and that big old TV, and you would think she died and his eye was on her. And, you know, she has got this TV in front of it. She loves it. And Sunday, I know today it's going to be a big day. That football is going to be on. And I find myself that suddenly I actually know the players. I'm actually looking forward to it because I've spent my Sunday afternoons with my mother-in-law watching football. And we've enjoyed it. You know, it's been one of the things that we've started to do. And one of the things I've started to like out of it is the whole thing that I didn't know with the whole instant replay that I would have used to think, well, I'm too much of a purist. But I love it. I love the instant replay on being able to challenge a play. And then the coach at the side standing there with the little red thing ready tonight. He's going to challenge a play. And then he's got the headphone on. And they show the guys up above. And they're watching the guys above. He's looking up like this. He's looking up. He's listening. Boom. He throws that little red thing out there. He challenges it. He'll respond quickly to whoever's up above. He'll be listening, man. If that guy tells him, throw the challenge. Sometimes if they're playing at one of those stadiums with those great multi-billion dollar TVs at one end, and you see all those fans go, and you can tell that's a horrible thing. He'll throw the challenge, man. He's responding quickly. You and me, we hear God. We know God speaking to us. Our heart's jerking us. We know what we're supposed to do, and we do not respond quickly. And we wonder why our relationship doesn't stay fresh. You see, we need to respond quickly to that leadership that comes from above. I thank my God every time I remember. Do you remember? I mean, really, do you remember that every good and perfect gift comes from God above? Do you remember that nothing you have on your own, but all that you have came from God? And if you remember that, why do you ever argue with him over that which he asks of you? Why do you ever get in a struggle over the things that he requires of you to call and build his church? You see, God gave his son for his church. And for us to say, why wouldn't he ask us to give ourselves also in love, if we're going to grow love between each other? And if we're going to grow love with God, if we're going to keep this fresh and alive, even after 28 years or maybe 280 years, we need to respond quickly when God speaks. We need to be ready to say, God, if you want me to move into this, I am ready. Because I know that you're watching over me. It says people who work together will win, whether it be against complex football defenses or the problems of modern society. People who work together will win. And friends, when you and me work together and we set our egos to the sideline, we set all of our own individual opinions to the sideline, and we all want one overarching good that comes from God, we work together for that, we will win. But we have to be ready to respond quickly. Fourth, we keep our love new and fresh when we get personal. When we get personal, because love is uniquely wonderful. You know, I can be kind of cutesy, and at first I spelled this uniquely, Y-O uniquely. You know, so it was kind of uniquely, but I need to understand that uniquely is about you. It's about you and me, and we need to get personal. What does it say? I thank God every time I remember you. He wanted them to know that he was thinking of them personally. I thank God every time I remember you. And we need to get personal because love is uniquely wonderful and love has names. Love represents people. It's not just about this great crowd of strangers, but it's about people who need to be embraced. It's about people who long to be held. It's about people who are far from us. Now, that's easy to relate to when we think about our relationships, whether we're married, whether it's our friendships, whether it's our children. It's easy to immediately think about that, but when we think about strangers, well, they don't count. Friends, everybody you know and love today was a stranger once. Your children, think about that. They were the greatest strangers you ever had. You had no idea who they were going to be until they popped into this world. In my generation, you didn't know if they were going to be a boy or a girl even. You didn't even know what sex they were, and suddenly, whoa, this little boy or girl was in the world with you like that. 9 months later, there it was, and instantly you were in love. And you spend a lifetime loving this child, getting personal, and so it is with the people around us. We may call them strangers, but it's only a label that separates us. Because remember, if we're calling them a stranger, what does that make us to them? Well, that means we're the stranger. And do we want to be a stranger? No, when we go places, we want to be accepted. We want to be comfortable. We want to be loved because we know who we are. And so we need to carry it out so they don't think that God cares. Aaron Rodgers, you know who Aaron Rodgers is, right? Oh, good. I'm in a football crowd, huh? Aaron Rodgers, great quarterback for our Green Bay Packers, who's not playing in the Super Bowl today. I don't think God cares a whole lot about the outcome. He cares about the people involved, but I don't think he's a big football fan. You know, I think that's true. I think in general, God's probably not a football fan. I think he's probably not a country fan. I think he's probably not any of those kind of things fan. He's a people fan. He cares about you. He's our Father. He cares about so many things that you're involved in, not because he cares about those things, but he cares about your involvement. He cares about you and who you are, and so he gets personal with us. I've told some of you about the spin classes that I go to. I've been going to spin classes, and I'll tell you what, I highly recommend all of it so you can experience the same brutality that I've had. But in going to these spin classes, you know, I go and you wear about, you know, an ounce worth of spandex on your body when you go in, and you come into the thing, and they start the whole thing. And because of prayer in the morning, I've had to miss my spin class every morning. And it just wreaks havoc on my workout routine. And so every morning at 4:30, I'm in a pool swimming instead. But swimming is just not the same kind of workout. And so one day this week, I think it was Tuesday, I'm thinking about where I'm at on different days of the week. Tuesday evening, I thought, man, I need to get into a spin class. So I stopped at the gym on the way home at 5:30 at night to see if they had a spin class. They had a spin class just getting ready to start. I hustled in, I got into all my cycling gear, got into my cleats. I came in and cleated in. This little gal who was about, I don't know, she weighed about 90 pounds of muscle. She's there and she's talking, oh, this is going to be some fun. This is going to be really good. The class was full. At 5:30 in the morning, you're lucky if there are 10 other people there with you. I mean, there are 40 people in there. This is going to be so good. Everybody up on your bike. She starts the music. It's rocky. It's rap music. Lord, help us. I thought I had bad music in the morning when it's Beyonce and doing that, but now it's loud rap music. You know, got this rap, 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 now you get mad. And I'm thinking, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then she says, okay, I want everyone up over 110 RPMs. It's the first minute, woman. What is wrong with you? She goes into this within 5 minutes. She's got us going within 30. And here's the truth. She's got all these people just off work. I'm the oldest person in the room by 20 years. I'm at least by 20 years. And they're all, every single time she's pushing us harder, they're shouting, yelling, go, yeah, yeah. And they're hooting and hollering. The room is full with, yeah. They know the rap words. They're doing all this stuff. 30 minutes in, I'm dying. And she says, how do you feel? And I said, you're a crazy woman. You're a crazy woman. She literally stopped for a second, said, pardon me? I said, you're a crazy woman. She stopped. She looks at, I've been called worse. Let's get going. Come on, we can do it. I just about died, you know, but I left and I went up and I thanked her. I said, that was the absolute best workout I've ever had on one of these machines. By a long shot. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And she's, well, I really appreciate you coming up telling me. I was worried there for a minute. You know, I think she's worried I was going to die. When I got there, one ambulance was already there. I think they'd hauled out the last old guy who'd been in her class. And so there, but for each of us, you know, she took the time to get personal, so I wanted to get personal. Go up and tell her, I don't really think you're a crazy woman. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the great work. In the moment, I thought you were crazy and going to kill me. And we all go through that in our relationships, and we need to make sure that we walk through that aspect because we're involved with each other. And fourth, we keep our love new and fresh. Fifth, when we go long and we change things up, when we go long and we change things up and we put it all on the line, when we go long, now all of you at some point, I hope in your life, played out in the park football or out in the parking lot football, or you played someplace where you just played football with all the neighborhood kids. And the favorite player, maybe in high school or junior high school where you played, I see people shaking their head, no, never did that. I'm so sorry, you guys. Let's have a game between services. Let's go out there between services. If we had a football, we could do that. But here's what you do. Everyone gathers together, and you're losing by, you know, 400 points or whatever it is, you know, against the other kids in the neighborhood who have been pounding you down and pounding you down. And somebody says, okay, what I want you to do is I want you two to stay in front of me, and you two just protect me. I'm going to drop back, and then everybody else do what? Go long, and they all go long, and when they go long, the quarterback says what? I'm just going to heave it out there. I'm going to throw up a prayer, a what? A Hail Mary. I'm going to throw a prayer. In other words, throw up a prayer just hoping that God answers that prayer and one of you guys catch it, maybe we can score a point. You see, today in the football game, you're going to see some plays that you have not seen all season long. There are going to be some plays, and they won't be trick plays. They will be plays that put it all on the line. They will be plays that you'll watch, whoa. If it's a close game, I mean, unless the Broncos are down by like 50 or something. But oops, I mean, if it's a close game, or if the Broncos are up by 50, whichever, I don't know. But I really don't have any idea how this is going to go. But however it goes, you'll see some plays that just put everything on the line. I mean, an entire season. And that's, I mean, the best part of this game was if it came down to like the last minute and the whole game was still on the line. That's what would have all of us across America on the edge of our seats. And it would come down to just one big play that could turn everything around. And so often in our lives, that's what it feels like. And in our relationships, we need to be willing to go long, to change things up, to do something different that puts it all on the line. It says, I thank my God every time I remember you. You see, you and me, we need to remember this is my God. This is my God. The Apostle Paul could write this because he knew he had a strength and a foundation in God who loved him. God who had spoken to him through his Son, Christ Jesus, and you had uniquely commissioned him for a new ministry and sent him out. And you and me, we have a God who loves us. We need to remember, this is my God. This is my God who loves me. Of what should I be afraid? This is my God who will undergird me. How in the world could I not have enough boldness to change it up, to go long? How in the world could I keep on doing the same old boring things and expect new things to happen, but instead to keep it fresh so that this love that God has given us will grow for us? We have the opportunity today to walk out of this place and say, I want to change myself. I've got friends, numerous friends, friends from this service, in fact, who are in Vegas today. They're in Vegas to watch the Super Bowl. It's not because they have better televisions in Vegas. It's because during the game, they can bet. During the game, they're going to be able to gamble. And they're going to be able to gamble as the game goes on. And one of the funniest bets that I've talked about across the years, and I know I normally don't preach Super Bowl Sunday, so Ken has talked about it since then as well, is what color Gatorade they'll be dumping over the winning coach's head. Now, the bet has been changed this year. It's interesting. They no longer call it what color Gatorade. Gatorade, you see, some of the teams are sponsored by Powerade now. And people who bet said, well, you know, wait a second, that bet, you know, I don't have to pay on that because it wasn't Gatorade, it was Powerade that they poured. And the bet said, so now, what color sports liquid will they be dumping over? And if you look, I went and looked, your pastor is guilty, I went and looked, I even checked the odds, and it's, what color sports liquid will they be dumping over the winning coach's head at the end of the game? And at the bottom of your card, there are the odds. There are the odds that are presented as of Thursday. I don't know what they are today, as of Thursday, for which color. Now, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to circle which color you think it is. I personally think it'll be blue. So I circled blue at 3-1, so that's what I circled. And so I'm committed publicly, on tape. I'm committed, you know, I've circled it already. That's what color I think it's going to be when it comes down. Now, am I willing to put $100 on what color Gatorade is on that? Am I willing to put 50 cents? Well, if someone were standing around, would I go to Vegas to do this? Not a chance. Would I actually sign on a computer and say, oh, here's my credit card number? Not ever. I mean, not ever. Not ever would I do any of that. But millions of people across America today are going to be doing just that. And this is just one. Go ahead and you can Google the 50 odd bets on the Super Bowl. And look at the different kinds of bets that people are making at different points, from the first touchdown for who will score in the first 6 minutes, on and on and on and on and on and on, of how it's going to all go down. And for us, we have the opportunity to bet our lives on God. And to remember that this isn't much of a gamble.
You see, because he already gave his life for us. He put it down on a solid foundation. And when he was rejected by his own, he doubled down on the bet and he gave his only son. And his only son promised that he would come back for all of his own, just to keep things fresh. And for you and me, we have the opportunity to say, this is my God. Is there another one that you would want? Another one that you would serve? There's not one. But who couldn't love this God? There's a simple prayer. The bottom of your card says, help me keep love fresh in my relationships. Give me an open spirit to a growing love. Fill me with your love, pure, open, and inviting. Take away my fear and make me ready. Thanks. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and for so many of us, we've allowed love just to slip away, God. And we've leaned on love. We've counted on it. But we've not done the hard work of keeping love fresh in our lives. We've not protected it. We've not lifted it up. And we've not cultivated it to make sure that it can continue to grow. And so, Lord Jesus, we come to you right now. And we thank you so much for planting yourself within our hearts. We thank you for the good things you've given us, God. And we would ask that which you've planted within us, that you would take, that you would grow, and that it might spread to everyone that we meet, that you might make us not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word who do it in love, Father, who just radiate your love in everything we say and do. For that one who's here this morning, who's had a broken heart, who has felt particularly unloved or lonely today, God, I would ask that this might wake up something new within them, that the lover within them might be reawakened, Father, that their love might be fresh, that they might remember that your eye, just like the song says, was on their little sparrow, and that you're there, God, this morning, our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.